Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the podcast. I'm Hannah.
And I'm Katie. And this is
One Kiss Means Forever.
This is the podcast where you should be careful what you wish for, because that wish might be bonkers bananas and may actually make you drink things that you don't really like, but the guy you like likes to drink. And anyway, whatever. We're talking about your favorite made-for-TV romances, the kinds that you find on Hallmark, Netflix, all that stuff. And what do we have today?
Yeah, so Anna? Today we, because we didn't do the last one of these, I feel like it was so perfectly designed for a made-for-TV romance movie. Today we are talking about Irish Wish, which came out on Netflix on March 15th of this year. So March 15th, 2024 is when it dropped. And their little blurb about it is, Maddie's dream guy is days away from marrying her best friend when a wish for true love made on an ancient stone in Ireland magically alters her fate. And it stars Lindsay Lohan, Ed Spiers, and Alexander Vlahos, or as I feel like, at least in my head, I don't think I did it in the script, but in my head, it's Lilo, Aragon, and Mordred. And that is how my brain is going to work.
Full disclosure, before we get into it, I have seen Aragon. I was a big fan of the books. I never finished reading the series. But when Hannah pointed out that he was Aragon, I flipped my shit. I was like, I have seen this cat so many times and never once did I realize this is Aragon. And I texted husband Billy and he was like, oh my God, what?
Yeah, she basically stopped watching the movie.
I was like, we need to pause. I need to process this. That's so good. Okay, so here we go. Here's our Oscar Wilde award-winning, because it's Ireland, so we have to have some kind of Irish writer.
Sure.
This is our James Joyce award-winning synopsis.
It's also long. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, so more like James Joyce then. Here we go. Lindsay Lohan plays Maddie, a book editor with dreams of writing something of her own. She's been working with Paul Kennedy, played by Alexander Vlahos, and has fallen hard but kept it a secret from everyone except for her mother, Jane Seymour. Right when she works up the courage to tell him how she feels, he meets Emma, a good friend of Maddie's, and the two are off on a whirlwind romance.
Terribly hurt, but with no one but herself to blame, Maddie very soon finds herself heading to Ireland as a bridesmaid for Paul and Emma's wedding. Arriving in Ireland, Maddie tries to get her bag, but a handsome stranger, played by Ed Spiers, insists it's his. When she's a pushy American about it, the bag flies open, proving it is indeed his bag. Because that's so easy to prove. So hers is lost, and because she needs to stay and file a bag claim with the airline, all her friends go to Paul's parents without her, leaving her to get there on her own. Which she does insist on, but it's still a douchey thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So Maddie tries to get an Uber, but they are not available. So her next option is to get a bus to drive her all the way to the actual address, which works. But who else is on this bus but the handsome stranger? He notices she's reading Paul Kennedy's latest, the one that she edited, and comments that he doesn't think he's a good writer. Maddie is offended for Paul, and also quite defensive, as she is still in love with him.
Paul decides to take the bridal party on a picnic. They head out to the middle of nowhere, Ireland, and Maddie finds a natural stone seat and, while sitting alone, wishes that she was the one marrying Paul. A strange lady pops out of nowhere and asks her if that is what she really, really wants. When Maddie confirms it is, a wind whips up, she bonks her head, and wakes up back at Paul's parents' house.
But things are different now. Paul is in her ensuite taking a shower. She has a gaudy engagement ring on her finger. Her wish has come true, and she is the one marrying Paul, not Emma. While events have changed, Maddie still remembers only what really took place in, like, the other reality. So the fact that her bag has appeared and isn't lost is surprising. As is the fact that she and her mom picked out a dress together and that her mom is planning to come to her wedding. Like, what?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. We're going to get to it. Mm-hmm. Paul's mom insists that Maddie needs to wear the family wedding dress. Maddie doesn't want to shake this incredibly fragile boat that she's wished into an existence, so agrees, even though she doesn't want to. They go to a fitting, and through the window, Maddie sees the strange lady who granted her wish. She rushes out of the shop, and Maddie trips directly into a convertible, conveniently driven by the same handsome stranger from the airport that she's never met in this timeline.
He's a little shocked by a bride appearing in his car and her acting like she's met him, but Paul's mother, rushing after her, notices he's got a camera, and they need a photographer for the wedding, so she hires him on the spot, even though he's a wildlife photographer, and he tries to say no. But the work he's in town for has been canceled, thanks to strange magic lady, and he agrees to do it, and they plan to all go look for locations in the morning.
Overnight, while asleep, Maddie has forgotten about her newfound situation and is startled by Paul putting his hands on her. She instinctively fights him off, giving him a black eye and blue balls. Or a version of blue balls, I suppose. Which means that he cannot go location scouting with Maddie and the photographer, who we finally learn is named James.
James takes Maddie to the Cliffs of Moher, and Maddie loves it, even saying her dream would be to get married there. He asks her why she's not having the wedding that she wants. She admits to not wanting to be a problem. James thinks that she should be able to be herself and get her dream wedding, but Maddie is determined to be the perfect wife for Paul.
Because this is Ireland, it starts to rain on their way back to Paul's parents, and it downs a tree. So James and Maddie take shelter in a pub that James knows, because he does apparently know all local pubs in Ireland, and they end up needing to spend the night. Spending more time together, James convinces Maddie to get out of her shell a bit and try beer, because she's strictly a wine girl, and to dance like no one is watching. She's apparently embarrassed about her skills. And since Maddie isn't trying to be someone else or impress anyone, they both start to catch the feels when she is, you know, herself.
But is she? Sorry.
More so than whatever she's doing with Paul.
This is true. I have thoughts. In the morning, they can't inform Paul about how they are because they don't have phone chargers, or they didn't have phone chargers, and apparently they couldn't borrow or buy any either to use at the pub, and their phones have died. But after a small car snafu, they get covered in mud, James and Maddie make it back in time for the wedding rehearsal, even though Emma was there to step in and play the role of bride.
At dinner that evening, a version of the newlywed game is put to Paul and Maddie. Paul confidently states Maddie's favorite novel incorrectly, but Maddie doesn't correct him, even though it did come up in conversation with James earlier, so audience and James know that he is wrong. And Maddie learns that she is the one who proposed to Paul, because, again, she doesn't remember what happened, which isn't exactly what she had been envisioning. James confronts Maddie about her relationship, and she tells him that he has no right to do so. Before walking away, James drops a "if you were my girlfriend" truth bomb that shakes Maddie's confidence in her decisions.
From her window, Maddie sees Emma and Paul talking and realizes that Emma is now the person that she was before her wish, quietly suffering because her friend is marrying the person she loves. In the morning, she apologizes to James about their fight. Paul sees them talking and starts to get the wrong idea. Maddie confronts Emma about her feelings and realizes that she can't go through with marrying Paul.
When the bridal march starts, Maddie goes out in regular day clothes, not the wedding dress, and tells everyone that the wedding is not happening. Paul immediately blames James and starts a fight. James leaves, but Maddie chases after him, claiming that she can't be happy without him. He doesn't want to be the guy that stole the girl and says, you know, sorry, no, I don't want to be with you like this. And she tries to change his mind by kissing him, but after, he still leaves. In tears, she drives herself to the same picnic spot and finds the wishing seat again, and this time she wishes for things to go back to how they were.
Maddie wakes up in her room at Paul's parents' house to find it's the day of the wedding again, and she is not the bride anymore. At the wedding, where James never got the job of photographer in this timeline, Maddie realizes just how much she doesn't actually want Paul. When he asks her to plot the story for his next book, but admits he won't be giving her a writing credit, she nopes out of there.
Maddie goes to find James, who has checked out of his room at this local pub. And she finds him on a park bench because a lady, the magic one, told him to stick around. Maddie proposes that they go on an adventure, and he agrees, taking her back to the Cliffs of Moher. While we don't get a final kiss, we know this will all work out, and even across timelines, one kiss means forever. The end.
The end.
Katie. You know, while I was writing this, I was like, wow, this is even more bananas and I have more questions than I had while watching it.
I mean, full disclosure. So friends, listeners, lovers, usually Hannah and I watch these separately, but we had the grand opportunity of watching this in the same space this time around. So I feel like some of our what the fucks were discussed in the moment, and I had a couple drinks, so I feel like they were just like everything was goofier when we were watching this.
You say that like I also didn't have a couple drinks, but
that's true.
we were equally couple drinked.
We were goofy.
First of all, I think you should start because the very first thing I didn't even put into the synopsis, and you brought up when we were talking about it, and you should start there about the scarf.
Oh, the scarf. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So there's a moment in the beginning of this, of the movie when we're like at the very beginning of the movie, Lindsay Lohan emerges from a taxi in New York City. They're at Soho in this like book launch thing. And she has this scarf wrapped around her neck and it gets caught in the cab door and the cab speeds away and it, you know, she spins around and it's like, oh, comically, oh no, my scarf is gone in this cab. And the way that they film it, it kind of feels like this is going to get called back in some sort of special way later on. It never does, which I felt a little cheated by. And this is the first of a couple things that are set up to be tropes in this movie, but never follow through. And that's something that Hannah and I were discussing, where Hannah brought up while we were watching this movie.
I have others.
Yeah. But it just made no sense. And they mentioned it a couple of times even after, like, hey, where's that scarf that I gave you?
Right. But it was weird. It didn't matter at all.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I question everything about a woman who claims to be in love with a man and has told her mother that she is in love with this man, but not her best friends.
Fair. Totally true.
I just don't believe you. like even if you were like, I can't tell you who it is, but I, you know, like she seems to have not told them that she likes anybody in any capacity. And I call bullshit.
Yeah, she's very like, no, I'm fine. And even when she's confronted by it, like I think when her friends see Paul, they're like, oh, he's cute. There's no way you don't have a crush on him. She's like, no, I'm fine. Not at all. Purely a work relationship. Like that would have been the time to be like, yeah, actually, like, you know, I'm attracted to him. Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't even have to be like I'm desperately in love. It'd be like, no, yeah, I see.
Like,
it.
Right. Yeah. Or,
I can envision that.
Right. It's strange. I find her behavior at the airport with James so off-putting
and inauthentic
that she is very lucky. Well, actually, it it does end up that it comes back and that we're back in that timeline. So this is how he meets her. And sorry, she has a black suitcase. Of course you need to look at the bag and the tag. Like, what utter bullshit. And like, because at some point she says, I don't need to look at the tag to know that this is mine. And it was like, excuse me?
Yeah, completely. Like, I think they set her up to be such a non-person. Like, I almost feel like AI wrote this character. You know?
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, this is a truth universally acknowledged that when you check a bag, you have to look at the tag. Like, there are signs in all airports across the world saying, make sure this is your luggage. And just to not casually go, oh, wait, really? And look at the tag and go, I'm so sorry. And have to have a 1940s level of slapstick comedy in order for this meet not cute to happen.
Right. And also, I have a lot of questions about the person who is traveling in 2024 with a black suitcase who doesn't know to put like a big sticker on it or like something that like is like easily identify this as yours.
Yeah, like a fun luggage tag. Who doesn't have those things, you know?
Like you just everybody has a black bag. So you know to have a fun something that is like,
absolutely.
Whether that is, you know, you wrap like a colorful stringer, like it doesn't matter what it is. It's just something clearly identifying it as yours. I mean, I do that with my purple suitcases.
Yeah. Speaking of suitcases, that is how they travel with the wedding dress. They take the wedding dress out of this in the alternate timeline. But when they open, she's like, oh, my luggage. And in it is a wedding dress folded inside of a suitcase.
How dare
and all
they.
My note says, a wedding dress in suitcase? Heathens.
Again, like so many questions about this character. Because so before we even get there, when she's on the bus and she's reading the Paul Kennedy book, I don't know about you, but I'm going to assume that if I half wrote and edited a book, I'm not reading a printed copy for pleasure anymore. I'm done.
Probably. Yeah.
Please explain. Like, being a narcissist? Like, what's happening?
I think either a narcissist or obsession with Paul. You know, like, let me read the thing that we made together, this on the eve of the time I'm going to lose him forever, kind of, you know.
Okay. But, you know, like, I guess I'm just a little confused because also, like, I mean, I guess this is sort of jumping all over the place. So this movie starts with Paul asking her to write another book with him, which we learn throughout the movie that she basically writes this book and then he takes credit for it, I guess, is pretty much what happens. And then it's 6 months later or whatever when they're getting married, and I guess they haven't started in any capacity.
I guess wedding plans and things like that got in the way. His relationship with Emma, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, but it's just like slightly strange that she doesn't, like, even if she was feeling like she needed to, you know, look at the things she was working on with Paul or whatever, that she didn't have something newer to look at. I don't know.
No, I agree. I think it's only really in there to be a device of talking about Paul Kennedy with James in thing that doesn't come back around number two, the way James talks about Paul is in a way that you would expect that they grew up together. Paul was a dick to him. They are longtime personal enemies. Like that is what the scene reads like. So we're like getting set up. Okay, Hallmark. He knows he's a dick from way back. Never comes back around.
No.
They have never met.
It's very strange that they act this way. Yeah. Like, it is so, he's so angry about Paul's existence.
Yeah, and it's more than just, I think he's a shitty writer.
Yeah.
It seems personal.
Oh, 100%. Like, and like, clearly, James knows this town that Paul grew up in. You know, he has friends at the pub or whatever. But, like, Paul lives in the U.S., and I don't know that James has been coming to this town as, like, while Paul ever lived there. I don't know. Mm. I'm just like it's so strange.
Yeah, I feel like this movie was written So what I was going to say, I feel like this movie it was written like in parts, in different parts by different people. But really what I think is this movie feels like it was written on the fly. Like they would shoot a scene and then write the next scene. Like that's what it feels like to me.
I get
like, they
that. Just,
they don't connect.
Yeah, it's very strange. It's sort of like the next thing I was going to talk about is locations, because locations are bananas.
Like we had to pause and look it up because even though the movie had just dropped, there were already articles on the internet stating how inaccurate these location, like geographically, were to each other, were inaccurate.
Yeah. I mean, like, if, you know, they tell us pretty clearly that they fly into the west coast of Ireland, which means it's already like you have to fly to Dublin. There's no way you're getting from New York to the west side of Ireland. Like the only thing you're only going to Dublin. And so like, which is a weird choice. Just go to Dublin. Like why?
Because I'm sure they were able to get the location at the other airport.
Don't tell me. Tell me that's Dublin.
That's fair. They didn't have to have her standing in front of that big sign.
No. Then they go to this lake. It's
Loch Tay.
Which is south of Dublin, but the airport that they tell us they fly into is like northwest, and so it's multiple hours of driving if you were to drive there, and also stupid if you decided to fly into this airport and not into the Dublin airport. And then later on, when James takes her to the Cliffs of Moher, that's like a 2 to 3 hour drive from where they are. Like, it's just sort of bananas. I mean, I have a lot of questions about this trip that James and Maddie take, because first of all, it starts with, okay, I get it. She need Paul in the balls. Like, he's in pain. But that means he can't do anything the following day? Like, how badly did she hurt him? Like,
I don't know. It was bad.
Yeah. I mean, just like, but then there's the, like, why are they going location scouting? Like, for what purpose? Are they wanting to take pretty pictures, like, in the wedding dress? Which, like, fine. But you wouldn't go 2 hours, 3 hours to do that.
Right.
Like, you know, you would be location scouting on the grounds of the house.
Sure. That beautiful, like, beautiful house.
It was just such a strange thing that they, like, why?
Because they needed to show some things in Ireland.
Yeah, only the Cliffs of Moher.
Yeah, that's the only part of Ireland that's picturesque.
Yeah, that's it. You know, this place that is, like, famously, like, lush and green.
And gorgeous. The hills are gorgeous. Even the men are gorgeous. Yeah. No, it is kind of like weird, the whole, like, if you're going to feature Ireland and all of its beauty, like, you didn't have to make up shit in order to make it work.
Yeah. Or just, again, don't tell me where you are and just be like, oh, the cliffs are like around the corner.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
But then I guess they can't sleep. But then give me a better reason why the two of them are stuck away from everyone else. Okay. I have a lot of questions about her mom, her relationship with her mom.
And just her mom in general.
And her mom in general. I mean, a lot of things that happen with her mom, because her mom, Jane Seymour, is in her own movie. She never interacts in person with anyone in this movie.
She's all B-roll. Like, that's it. She's just in her own little area.
But so they seem to be pretty, like, close. There seems to be no father, which is not a problem. But, like, it seems like this is, a, like, this mother-daughter close relationship, calls her all the time kind of deal. Mm-hmm. But then Maddie seems sort of shocked that she would have gone wedding dressing shopping with her mom, or that her mom is planning to come to Ireland for her wedding, which I found strange.
Yeah. I couldn't decide if that was, like, her initial reaction to the surprise was her forgetting that she was the one getting married or not. But, yeah, like, I don't know. Also, the fact that if in this timeline my mom still hasn't gotten on a plane and the rehearsal dinner is that day, I would be pissed. Like,
oh, yeah. Like, right. It's, like, really weird. And they don't seem to be nearly as concerned about the fact that the mom just, like, hasn't shown up yet for a few times.
Yeah.
And then at some point, this really bothered me in a stupid way. Like, somebody is like, oh, we have to go pick up your mom from the airport. Like, we have to plan for that, whatever. And Maddie says she can just take a taxi. And I'm like, sweetheart. You tried and failed to take a taxi from that airport.
Right. Well, because she couldn't get an Uber. And one of my notes is like, but there are taxis, right? But no, she had to take Bridget buses, which is just, you know, I think St. Bridget had her thing from before she sat right on that bench, but whatever.
But like, I was like, you can't say that, like, it's not a problem, my mom will take a taxi, when you tried and failed to do that exact thing. You're like, no, it will be a problem. Like, I just was so baffled by that.
It doesn't make
And I'm
sense.
Like, you know, fine, get your mom a taxi in advance and have it waiting for her. That's something you can do. But are you doing that? No, you're not. Mm-mm. Also, St. Bridget, the magic fairy lady, has her mom, like, get amnesia for a hot second. And at no point does the hospital, who probably, she fell in the airport and bonked her head is basically what happened. And so she never gets on this plane to Ireland. She's never coming to this wedding. But, like, the hospital, she you have to travel to a different country with documents. The hospital knows who she is. Like, you get in touch with, like, you figure it out. Like, your emergency contacts are accessible.
True.
Like, I just don't believe that she never got a call that's like, your mom's in the hospital.
That's why I think that this movie was written on the fly. Like, I am on it. I do improv that where we create a movie on the go. This is what the kind of movie that we'd create. Because we don't, you know, like, if you're improvising a movie, it feels like this. And so I feel like this movie was improvised.
Fair.
One thing that really bugged me about this, because, you know, we talk about time travel or other timelines often, strangely enough, on this show. But one thing that pissed me off was that you have no memory of the other timelines. Like, the fact that she, like, she was surprised her bag was there, of all the things to be surprised about. She didn't know how he proposed, or how she proposed, rather. But I feel like in other movies where this sort of happens, you're sort of cognizant of what is going on in that timeline, maybe? Right?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends. That part didn't bother me, in that I feel like there are versions where you're like, this is not the world I lived through. But she was bad at pretending mm-hmm. that she had any idea. Like, it was almost uncomfortable to watch the, like, him telling the story of the proposal where she's like, yep, that's what I did.
Well, because she doesn't know.
Right.
And so, like, if she were to admit that she doesn't know or doesn't remember or make something up, he'd be like, what, are you crazy?
Yeah, but, like, you know, I don't know. It's also one of those things where it's like, okay, so it's something we've talked about before, whereas, like, I feel like she missed her own romance and never gets it. And then later, when she goes back to the original timeline and to be with James, James has missed the romance and like,
yeah. Well, because we talk about this sometimes when we have like the Groundhog Day kind of things, yeah. is the person who keeps reliving it has all of these memories together while the person who's the other guy or whatever doesn't. And they feel like this is the same sort of argument, which is very problematic in this thing that will never happen. But we see it so many times in movies, and I feel like we need to fix it. If you're going to make up a scenario that will never happen, you can make up the rules.
Right. Well, it's just very strange. I also, we keep hearing that Maddie wants to write her own book. She, you know, she's afraid of it, but she wants to, blah, blah, blah. And she, you know, sits down to work on her own book for, you know, after her outing with James, you know, she's, and we see the screen and it just says chapter one. I'm like, sorry, I don't believe that this woman who has been wanting to write a book for presumably years has nothing.
But Hannah, that's a Hallmark. We see that all the time.
I know.
I'm writing a book. All I have is the title by me. Prologue. Chapter one. Because, you know, that's how books are written linearly.
Right.
I mean, you could be a plotter or a pantser. Or a planter, but usually you have timelines and notes and things and outlines and whatever, but whatever.
You have, well, like she doesn't have characters. She doesn't have anything.
Chapter one, start at the beginning.
But the other thing I really want to talk about, because as somebody who has been to Ireland and been in cars in Ireland, the idea that this New Yorker steals a Range Rover kind of vehicle in Ireland to drive herself to a place she doesn't know how to get to in the rain is not possible. just not possible. I don't care if you've got like sat nav or whatever. Like, even if she knew where she was going, which I don't believe she did, because she doesn't know where she is, or, you know, I don't believe any of that. Backroads Ireland is so fucking scary to drive on if you're comfortable on that side of the road, let alone not. And then add on top of that New Yorkers who don't drive.
Right. Like, no, totally no. True.
Like, I was just so furious that she was like, I can do it. And I'm like, no, the last time I was in Ireland with an American who felt comfortable driving on that side of the road, it was like white knuckling it. Because
no,
those roads are not built for cars. And having a big car would be that much scarier. And then add in rain.
Right.
Like, just like, no, I don't believe you at all. You are going to kill yourself or someone else. At the very least, you're totaling that car.
True. Very true.
But also, speaking of your, like, they're planning it or they're plotting it as they're making it. There was a lot of times where this movie was like, we don't want to figure this out, so we're just not going to. Like in the scene where she just ends up, she wakes up back at the house. Like, she never has to come back. She never has to come back from the original picnic.
Right.
Like, she wakes up in the correct timeline again, and her bag is there. We
somehow
never have to go figure out like what happened to her bag.
Yeah, it's a small movie. It's a short movie. They put a lot in it. They didn't really have to finish points that they started making, because they're like, you know what, we just need a quaint Irish movie starring Lindsay Lohan, because we all loved the Christmas movie that she did.
Yeah. I mean, just like, it was very strange. But yeah. Yeah.
My last just little point before we can get into Hallmarks is, and I guess this is kind of a Hallmark. The thing that bugged me the most is I get that it's a trope that a man introduces you to something that's new, and now you develop a taste for it. And like, that's like the secret code of, I think I like this guy more than where I'm at. And so in this movie, she, you know, we talked about in the synopsis, she gets a Guinness from James. She's more of a wine drinker. She says beer's not her thing. So he gives her a stout, which I think if beer is not your thing, stout is probably not your thing more. And then when they get to the rehearsal dinner, what does she want to drink while everyone else is drinking wine and champagne but a Guinness? No one else is having beer. We don't even know if Guinness is there, and now she just drinks Guinness. And to me, it's like, unless she had said, holy fuck, this is delightful in that scene. But she was like, this is fine. But now she wants to drink it at her wedding rehearsal dinner, like when no one else is doing it. I call bullshit. That's me feeling like you're changing for a dude. And I feel like that's old.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? 100%.
Yeah.
And I just want to, before we jump into Hallmark Hallmarks, because it's sort of Hallmark Hallmark adjacent, it's the Hallmark Hallmarks that didn't happen because they should have. So as we talked about, like, we never get why James hates Paul, because there should be some like weird rivalry where he stole a girlfriend or something.
Sure.
We start to get a dad is dead and life is hard from James, but it doesn't amount to anything. Mm-mm. And it like, I genuinely forgot about it for a while.
Sure.
Which, like, usually in these, it's like when you get the parent is dead and life is hard, then they talk about it like it's like this, like, oh, but I know your parent is dead, so I am more sensitive to you in such a way.
Sure.
Like, nope, not there. They have to stay over at this pub overnight, and he asks for two rooms, and then we never come back to it. Like of course there's only one room available. It's a fucking made-for-TV rom-com. Like, how do we never talk about the fact that there should only be one room available?
Yeah, when they said we'll have two rooms, it's like, okay, no. The answer is, sorry, we only have one room available. We have, what was the freaking movie with Amy Adams and Matthew Goody?
Leap Year.
Leap Year. Like that, okay, like that is exactly the scene. We've seen it before. How else are we supposed to get that tension unless they have to share a bedroom, guys? How dare you give me, yes, there's two rooms available. Screw you.
Wait, in a pub? Are pubs hotels?
No, I mean, I'm sure they only have like four rooms to let, and three of them should be occupied.
Right. It was just like, seems like a strange place to, okay, whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. Drop the Hallmark ball.
So real Hallmark comics that did show up.
Yes.
My first one is movie starts in New York City.
Yeah, for sure. She is a klutzy moment when the scarf escapes in a cab.
The wrong guy asks her to put her dreams on hold for him.
Sure. We have a close writer-editor relationship.
Mm. I said we had a magic Santa fairy lady.
He's a photographer.
She cannot be herself with the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm. Wishing for an alternate timeline.
We get a prominent car logo.
Yes, we do. She literally falls into him at some point. Mm-hmm.
Yes, she does. There's a storm coming.
A little bit before that, I put the, even though he doesn't remember it because of the wish, we have a, it's you moment.
Oh, that's but
only
true.
Only one-sided.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true. We have, I didn't have a great way of saying it, but what we've talked about of the, like, you have to try this thing that you actively say you don't like, but will like now because I am giving it to you.
Yeah, no, I think that's the only way to say it. Adjacent to that, but not quite what you said. I said, real women drink beer and white wine is for bitches.
We have a sexy teaching moment where he teaches her how to play darts.
Yeah. The car won't start.
We have someone stepping in to play a role during the wedding rehearsal.
Stand in wedding people. We have the how well do you know your fiance game.
Someone has amnesia, even though we barely see it.
We have a dumb fight on principles. She insists he's running away from his life, and he insists that she doesn't really know her husband.
I'm out, but go for it, please.
Well, we discussed this one. She's writing a book and it's nothing but chapter one. Mm-hmm. We have the big speech at the wedding in front of everybody. And my last one is an alpha male fight for no fucking reason.
Well, it sort of felt like a one-sided alpha male fight because there was James there being like, I don't want to do this. Like, I don't want to be a part of this. Please stop trying to fight with me.
Yes. Man.
Pretty Parade?
I had a couple, just quick.
Sure.
Lochte with the boats. The boats on it were very cute. It was very picturesque. The house where they were getting married. I love a good stately home. And she had a green nightie at one point that I thought was wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of that can be encompassed by my just blanket Ireland.
Yes.
And I, you know, this whole thing about this wedding dress that she picked out with her mom, and then his mom wants her to wear the family wedding dress, whatever. The family wedding dress, I thought, looked great.
Yes.
I kind of loved it. Like, yeah, it was incredibly conservative, long sleeve, whatever, but
it was beautiful.
Beautiful.
We didn't talk about how it's different dress.
Yeah, when Emma gets married, she does not have to wear the family wedding dress. And there is like a throwaway line of like, I got to wear my own dress because you said something. And I'm like, when? How?
But who? What's really stupid is it's basically the same flavor of dress. Like, they're very similar. Long sleeve, high neck, kind of like whatever. Yeah. Dumb.
We did pause and rewind because Katie was like, no, it's the same dress. And I was like, nope, it's not.
No, you're right.
I thought Lindsay's hair in this was great. I thought her hair looked great. But I do want to talk about the quarter egg, like from a machine style green engagement ring that she received and is wearing on her finger.
At least it's because not a clatter ring.
Yeah, I suppose. But it is tacky as fuck. It is huge. And, I mean, it looked plastic on screen to me. I hated it so much. I was like, if somebody had given me this as like, this is your real engagement ring, I would have been like, fuck off. Do you know me at all as a human being? Also, it's the kind of green that's so bright that you couldn't like wear, like it would clash with things so easily. Mm. You know, like I'm all for like a colored wedding or engagement ring if that's what you want. Sure. But like you don't want something that's so gaudy looking that like you feel like you have to dress for the ring. And I felt like this wanted you to dress for the ring.
I think that's totally fair. Gross.
Yeah. So.
Did you have an Across the Universe?
I didn't.
I must have, but I didn't finish my thought. All I wrote was Inma. So okay. I don't know what I meant by it. But I don't have anything until Kiss Meter, do you?
I did have a supporting shout out.
Nice.
Because I wanted, so while she didn't even make it into the synopsis, technically, it's a trio of friends. It's Maddie, Emma, and Heather.
Oh, was that her name?
I looked it up. And Heather is the only person in this movie who basically gets to be that character the whole time.
Oh, that's fair.
She just, you know, like she's just the friend. So she's just sort of doing her thing. And so is the only one that doesn't come across to me as like completely unbalanced.
Sure.
Cause she clearly is like, I would like to find a man, please. And thank you. And I'm here at a wedding and that's a great place to find a man. And I don't know how she does it other than the fact that it is, you know, St. Bridget who makes it happen. But she does happen to find I believe American black man at an Irish wedding.
Yes.
To be the love of her life. So Good for her.
Good for her. You know what? Speaking of St. Bridget, I'm going to throw her in quickly as a supporting shout out. I thought the actress who played her was doing the best she could. She was downright charismatic and fun. That must have been a fun role for her, even if the character itself was bonkers bananas.
I did appreciate the, like, what do you want, wind? And she's like, yeah, that'd be good. She's like, okay, you weirdo.
Very funny.
All right.
Kiss meter? Yeah. I gave it a 7.5 because it actually looked like a good kiss. And cinematically speaking, the scenery was nice. The lighting was beautiful. The camera spinning around them was a bit lovely, except I should really dock it a lot of points because she's trying to prove a point with the kiss. It's a, no, you love me, damn it, so I am going to assault you with my face. And it was very dramatic. And I think she started crying after, which was hilarious. Or she cried at some point, which was hilarious to me. So if I were to just take that kiss out of context, I'd say it was a 7.5. But I don't really feel like rating it in context. How about you, Hannah?
Okay, you were way nicer than me. I gave it a 4.
Ooh, okay.
Yes, it was an assault kiss of an I'm proving that you love me kiss, which is a problem. But I think the camera trickery that was there, which was like coming around it, it certainly looked to me like this was a kiss where two people put their mouths, or Lindsay put her mouth on him, and then they froze like statues for so fucking long.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And there was no movement. And that is the only kiss we get.
Yeah.
And I was kind of furious about it.
That's fair. I think that's fair.
And I was, I was unhappy with that being the only kiss we get. And there's no... We didn't get a, like, I do like you and let's have fun. Yeah. Even if it had been a, like, 1 year later situation where we get a, like.
Yeah.
That would have been fine. I, like, you know, this movie had a lot of, like, weird, like, I'm going to put words on screen to tell you where we are things. But, like, it's weird that they didn't, because they had them climbing the Cliffs of Moher. And, like, it's weird that that wasn't 1 year later. Like, it just so clearly should have been.
Sure. And then they could have been kissing or getting married or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It did have that, like, that weird, like, we're going to have the words look like they're part of the scenery kind of thing. Like, where were they? Wyoming or North Dakota? Where was Jane Seymour? Something like that? Iowa?
Something like that. Yeah. She was in a flyover state. That's true. But, yeah, it was unimportant, but there was a lot of it happened more than once, and it was strange. So
Hannah,
Katie,
would you watch Irish Wish?
I don't think I can recommend it. It wasn't fun enough. I would 100% watch the crazy bananas bonkers Christmas Lilo movie over this one.
I think I'm with you. I am all about, like, the resurgence of Lindsay Lohan. I think, like, get it, girl. Like, do your thing. I'm here for you. These men in it are delicious. And so I was really happy about it. But I just didn't think it gave me what anywhere close to what I wanted it to be. And I was really upset by it. It was not good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm right there with you. Like, it had enough in it that, like, I'm not, like, it followed everything. It was what it said it was going to be. It just didn't do it well enough.
Sure. It wasn't as charming as I think it could have been.
Yes. Also, like, I will say, like, I didn't like Maddie for most of this movie. Like, she's not, you know, she's sort of unlikable in that she's kind of got a stick up her ass of, like, I'm in love, but I'm not going to tell anybody for a huge portion of this movie. And it's weird.
And I don't even know who she is, though, because I only really know her as like, I'm in love with Paul. I will do anything to have Paul. I don't really even understand why I love Paul. And
right, because Paul's a fucking dick.
Yeah, he really, really is. And, you know, that's not new in any of these movies, but she doesn't seem to have anything we can jump onto before she's already changing herself for another man.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
I don't even know if we can say that she's becoming more herself, because I don't have any context as to what that is. Right.
That's fair. I also feel like, you know, at some point in the alternate timeline, Emma does say, like, fuck off, Paul. But then does end up marrying. I'm just, like, also confused about that relationship. I, like, don't feel like they make each other better. I just don't know.
Yeah. All around strange.
Yeah.
Which was a big bummer, but I had a fun time watching it with you.
Yeah, I had a fun time watching it with you too.
Yeah,
it's always fun to watch things in the same room with other people.
Yeah,
who are going to watch them the same way you are, instead of, you know, the like, why are they doing that? What's happening?
If you watch this, not that I feel like everything needs to be about drinking, but if you are making this a drinking game or some sort of funny bingo game, I say have at it. This is definitely a fun.
You would like to.
Let's make fun of this together. I can't wait for the third Lindsay Lohan Netflix thing. I hope maybe that'll be more fun. But
yeah, let's. There's got to be one that's more fun.
Maybe she should do a Halloween one. You know,
that'd be fun.
We've got like an Irish St. Patrick's Day. Well, it wasn't St. Patrick's Day, but you know what I mean. It came out around St. Patrick's Day. We had a Christmas one. She screams witch to me. I need it. I want it.
I am all there for it. Where, you know, I want kind of like that Nikki DeLoach one where she learned she's a witch.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as an adult. That's the kind of witch movie I want from her. Is when she discovers witchcraft later in life.
Yes, the klutzy witch is everything I want Lindsay Lohan to be.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, make sure that you are following us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. One Kiss Means Forever. We're the one in the four are numerals. We do try to live tweet the new movies when we can. And some of the TV shows, and, you know, we're present. You can reach us there.
If you have other ideas of different kind of holiday themes that Lindsay Lohan could be on Netflix, we have no power in Netflix, but I want to hear about them through email. You can email us at onekissmeansforever@gmail.com. That's all spelled out as you see it on our logo.
And thank you, as always, to Flint Bastards for our intro outro music. His stuff's on Apple Music, Spotify, and SoundCloud. And we'll see you guys in a few weeks for more movie times.
More love.
Woohoo!
Bye.
Bye. Sorry, I have kitten paws coming in from under the door here.
Hello.